I am so filthy about this.
What's wrong, mate?
Well, we're back. We've already done this.
Yes, we have. Oh.
We have. I reckon I've told 10 people already about training. They were not interested anyway.
Yeah. But, we'll tell it again.
Yeah, I guess we will.
So what happened?
We have already recorded the whole pod and I went to edit it.
Not the whole pod.
Well, yeah, not the interview.
Not the interview with Hugo, yeah.
We already had the interview with Hugo, but essentially we've already done this intro. We've talked about the games and I went to edit it last night and the files aren't there. Just corrupted. It shat itself, so.
Yeah, it wasn't your fault. It was the computer's fault.
Yeah, absolutely computer's fault. Yep. Not me.
As always.
No human error 100% involved.
Never
at
is.
All. So
that's good.
We're back here and...
That's good to be back, mate. I missed you. It was a long 24 hours.
It's too long.
Yeah.
Yeah. We love talking. We love
so much.
We love being the center of the attention, don't we? All right, let's get into it.
Let's do it.
Knowing what I know now, I've got no doubt I'll be able to save his life. That's what's going to create those genuine, long-lasting relationships. If I've had a few too many beers, I'll literally get my nuts out and play real or fake.
Welcome back to the All Things Kings podcast, everybody. I'm Jesse Finneman, your Ned Carruthers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, that's me.
How are you, mate?
I'm good. It was very wet training tonight, wasn't it?
It was shocking, yeah. We're out there for about 15 minutes.
Yeah, you're right, because I had the timer going on my watch.
How many Ks did you chalk up?
Wouldn't say over a K.
Under the K mark. That's brilliant. It was funny because it was originally supposed to be the A's and B's have a light session because they're playing tomorrow night.
Yeah.
The C's and D's go into a few more drills, maybe some outnumber ball movement. But Steve wasn't interested. All Steve was interested was calling the whistle for him to kick a goal when we were doing the three-man play.
No, he didn't. He didn't.
It was so funny. It was so funny. I had to stop the drill because I was laughing too hard.
That's so good from Steve.
Yeah. I said, Steve, I got a whistle in the car if you want to borrow it for the call the goals. And I was expecting him to be like, nah, mate, don't worry about it. He was like, actually, yeah.
Oh, right.
Go get the whistle from the car. So I had to go get the whistle from the car.
That idea was brewing for him.
Yes. I love that whistle, though. It slips into the two fingers and you...
Oh, you've got the full umpire whistle.
Yeah, it's great. So I use it on the year eights. They come in from school and I'll blow the whistle. I'll be like, whoop! Mark, how's your day today?
That's terrible.
And they're always like, oh, it was fine. I'm sorry. It's great.
What?
It's good.
I'd be so rattled as a year.
Keep them on their toes, mate. Yeah, I know.
That's great.
Yeah. They're like, oh, sorry, Jay, man. It was all right. Anyway, into the game, shall we?
Let's do it. Okay. D grade. Out at home against Shock.
Yes.
What happened?
Sacred Heart, Old Collegians. They lost by 7 points. It was 38-31.
4-7.
Yeah.
5-8. That is.
Do you want me to talk about it?
Yeah, you talk about it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Great. So, well, let's just set the scene. Earlier in the year, we played Sacred Heart All Collegians in the D grade. Mm-hmm. We got thumped, didn't we?
We did.
The boys
were flat.
Boys are very flat. And I said when we recorded last night, I'll say it again, there is... What happens when you get pumped by a team like that early in the year? You get sad about the fact that not only has this been a bad day, but, you know, it's going to be hard to beat these guys in finals if they're beating us by 100 points now. And you drop your head about the whole season and not just that week. But a result like this, only going down by 7 points, is a phenomenal comeback from that earlier result. And a great momentum to take into the next few weeks and also hopefully September.
Exactly.
So the boys should hold their heads high and realise the fact that, you know...
Well, they took it up to the top teams.
They took it out to the top teams.
Of that div, so...
And yeah.
And being up at one point.
Anything's possible come the crunch end of the season for those boys. So exactly. It's very exciting. Yeah, as I said, 4-7, 31-38, 5-8. So goal kickers were Sneath. Tom Sneath, Jones, who's Jones?
Jonesy.
Oh, Pete Jones. PJ, my man. Wheelies. Brandon Jenke and Eddie Elias. And then for the best players, we have fifth is Paddy McGrath. Fourth, Eddie Elias. Third, Bill Newman. Second, Mark Loveday. And again, probably leading the polls at the moment, is Charlie Bowen.
Fantastic.
Good day for him on the ball. So...
No, well done, D grade, and they're really building. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Moving into the C's, who went out to smosh with the B's.
And yeah, I wasn't there for this.
Yep, so you had an exam.
I had an exam. So it was a wet, windy day out at West Lakes. I was very, very happy to miss it, but also very, very sad that I wasn't there.
The only thing is, I don't think the C's were sad to miss you because it doesn't look like they needed you. 11 no, goals, 17, 83 to 5 goals, 6, 36, smosh.
Besides, what they missed is my, you know, set shot tutorials I give some of the young boys. 17 behind.
Out on the ground.
Yeah. Look, that's not seven, okay, but yeah. Steve knows. Steve knows.
He's hearing you.
He'll get into the boys. Yeah.
No, so great game for the C's. Obviously very windy out at Smosh, as you said, and very windy and wet. So you were pretty happy to miss that game, Jess.
But no, I devastated.
But the boys had a great game, obviously.
Yeah, they did well.
Goal kickers for the day, Zilma, Sammy Nichols, and Jake Ellis, all the one. Flynn Pratt with two, and then Buster Bentley with six.
Buster B.
Massive.
Just flying towards leading goal kicker. Oh,
he loves a goal, yeah. Doesn't he? So best on were fifth was Teagues, fourth.
You say Teagues so weird. I've said this before. You drop the K and make it a G.
I feel like that's what everyone says.
No, they don't. It's Teagues. Anyway.
Fifth best for Teagues.
Yeah, you go. Good boy. Good enunciation. I'm proud of you.
Yes, that's rattled me.
I'll leave that in.
Fifth best was Teagues. Fourth was Chopper Reed. Third was Flynn Pratt. Second best, Buster Bentley with six. And best on was Mark Bichetti.
Bichette, what a man.
Massive.
Him returning back into the side.
Back to the Queens, back out at Haslam. Massive rebound from the week before.
Yeah,
going
huge.
9 goals, 12, 66 to Kenilworth, Flinders Uni, 1 goal, 1, 7. So a great win for the
awesome
Queens.
But
goals were Anna White, Ember Hawkins, and Holly Cunningham, all with one. Lulu Tierney with two, and Emily Draper with four.
Yeah. Four for the Drapestagram. That's sensational.
I feel really bad for Sauce.
Why is that?
Sauce got his first goal in the B grade. not his first goal, but rare goal.
A rare goal, yeah.
And obviously called Drapes after the game, or talked to her and said, Drapes has got a goal. She said, well,
I got four of them.
Four.
Yeah. That's sensational.
Absolutely shut Sauce down.
Oh, that's awesome.
So very good.
That couple is flying high right now.
I spent a couple
of days with them in Melbourne last week, so...
Ah.
Yeah, I hope I had a nice influence on their results on Saturday.
Probably not. So best on Sophie Allen in fifth. Fourth best was Lulu Tierney. Third best was Emily Draper. Second best, Holly Cunningham. And best on was Amber Hopkins.
Great stuff.
Well done, girls.
Well done to the girls.
Now we're moving back out to Smosh.
Your boys.
My boys.
Oh,
massive win.
I've just seen the board, Neddy.
Hey, well, we'll get there. So 14 goals, 3, 87 to Smosh's 1 goal, 4, 10. Massive win for the B grade. Really positive. Mm. We're moving in to that midway part, that mid part of the season. And obviously building, getting that game plan settled, which is massive. Goal kicks for the day. Sauce with one.
Fingers, well, there we go.
Fingers, TL, Duffy. Sammy Carruthers also got one. Zoas, Oscar Swatala, and Venks all got two. And Lounsey, also known as Angus Cotha, getting three.
That's an awesome effort. So talk to me about Koth, because I didn't think he'd be in this team.
No, so he was dropped on the Thursday night. And Freddie came out of the team late with a tooth infection.
Do you know, he had the audacity to say, I'm amazed you came tonight because it was wet. After missing that game on Saturday.
What is he talking about? You're an absolute battler.
Yeah, that's what I always say, Ned. And I always practice. But no, he did not appreciate that. And he had the audacity after missing a game with a little toothache.
I think it was a tooth infection.
A little toothache. Ridiculous.
So obviously Fred came out and Koth came in and kicked three for the day.
Yeah.
Really
awesome result.
Played really well. Could have got four, actually. Gave one off to Fingers late in the second. So
awesome.
Massive.
What a team, man.
Best on for the day. Maxi Reed was fifth. Charles Canny, will get to him in a moment. Fourth. Sammy Carruthers, third. Vanks, second. And I don't know what that clown's doing there.
That's N. Carruthers, five votes. Well done, mate. What a day for you. How'd it feel out there? Good?
No, it was a team game, really solid.
Yeah, just taking it week by week. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, A grade. Probably the
A grade.
Probably the best four quarter effort I've seen from the A's this year.
Well, yeah, I think it's definitely our biggest win on paper, biggest margin. Mm. So
15 goals, 15, 105 for the Kings to Smosh's 7 goals, 7, 49.
It's a great effort.
So it was probably the biggest win we've had, but most importantly, best four quarter effort in terms of
hitting those KPIs.
Everyone hitting the KPIs, but everyone playing their role and doing the team thing. So it was massive to see.
Really pleasing.
Goal kickers, Adam Zenny, Rabs Wilson, Max Thring, George Thring, Darcy McCrosty, Magnus Illman, Jack Green, and Has George all got one.
Beautiful.
Forster got three, and Mark Evans kicked four of the most insane goals I've seen. Especially in the
He always does. No, that's a lot of goal kickers,
isn't it? A lot of goal kickers.
That's an awesome result.
Yeah.
Spreading the load. It's great to see.
Exactly. So, best on for the day. Jack Green in fifth, Rabs Wilson fourth, Darcy McCrosty third.
Our boy.
Jake van der Hoek in second, and Magnus Illman.
Mag.
Best on.
Awesome. So, Darcy in third there. We've got to start a thing. Let's call it the pot effect.
The week I after, love that. Yeah,
the week after they're on, see how they go.
Yeah.
It's a bloody good start.
That's great.
That's a bloody good start.
We're going to keep that. Yeah. I'm going to hold on to it. Let's just get the best players on this next few ones.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we skew our chances quite nicely.
Okay, moving in to the week. Melanoma round, we'll get to that in a moment. Mm. And we've got a great interview lined up.
We
do. But there's a very special Kingman we need to mention.
Incredibly. 200 for Charles Canney. This Friday night, which is a sensational accomplishment. 200 games is
incredible.
A long tenure. And what did you say to me last night, Ned, that he's played 10 over the last three years?
So he said to me he's played 10 games. It's taken him 3 years to play 10 games.
Yeah.
So he's been battling for this.
He has been.
For a long time.
Yeah. And the nervous 190s.
Exactly.
No, yeah, yeah. So, no, awesome. And Charles, yeah, he's just done an incredible service to the club over a long time, premiership captain, and all those things. He's always around. So get out there and support this great man.
Yeah, especially, I should say, considering this is only my second year at the club. But
yeah, it is, isn't it?
Everyone I speak to about
couldn't praise him more highly.
Not a bad word to say.
Oh, never. No. Like,
so far from it.
Mm.
So big congratulations to Chucky reaching the 200.
There's years, those dark days of the club, where he was just running around doing absolutely everything. So we owe him a lot. Get out there and support him on Friday.
Well said. Okay. So Jess. Not at Haslam. Not at House of Slam this week.
We are not. We are at Cooper's Stadium, Norwood Oval.
Oh, this gets me giddy.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure it does, mate, because you're playing.
Hey, I'm sorry.
No, very exciting. So, yeah. Kings at Coopers. So the B grade is at 6 p.m. The A grade is at 8 p.m. So get down there. $5 donation would be much appreciated on the door. We're accepting FPOS. So, yeah, no, please come along. Watch the boys have a run around. It's going to be a great night.
It's going to be awesome. And there's also a function on. We'll get into that in a moment.
We will.
There is a function on. So hopefully you've seen that on the socials.
Yeah.
Get around it. You can stay in the warmth and watch the games. But otherwise, we'll talk about that in a moment. Saturday as well.
Yep.
It's going to be free skin checks. We'll talk about that. But Queens and Seas are out at Haslam. 12:15 for the Seas this week.
Yep.
And 3:15 or 3 o'clock. I'm not sure if it's confirmed yet for the Queens.
Yep. And then the Ds are out at Park 9.
Playing the Princes.
Yeah, playing Princes at 12:15. So.
Yep. So.
Big weekend ahead, mate.
Massive week for the club. It's going to be very exciting.
Yeah,
I can't
get your
wait
sleep in
be
now,
there.
Everybody, because you're not going to get much this week.
Exactly. So, without further ado, should we...
Let's do it, mate. Let's get into it.
Let's do it. Right, Jess, we've got a very exciting guest on tonight, really special as well, Captain Hugo Tuvey, and he's certainly a man we need an intro for.
Absolutely, mate. It's very exciting. So, Hugo is a captain of the Australian Army and the founder of 25 Stay Alive. So joining the Army out of school, Hugo was a fit and keen 18-year-old, making new mates and taking on every challenge he faced. So the sudden suicide of a close mate brought Hugo and his mates back down to earth. According to Hugo, this brought them closer together than ever, allowing him to recognise the power in mateship. However, in 2013, Hugo's world as a young man would be rocked again. He was diagnosed with testicular cancer, which was a battle that he faced and was able to overcome.
Yeah, but as you could see, the five-year cancer-free mark, Hugo would be told that he now had bowel cancer. He says if it wasn't for the early detection due to the cancer checks of testicular cancer, his chance of survival would be very different. That is, ironically, testicular cancer saved his life. And quite remarkably, while Hugo faces this ongoing challenge of bowel cancer, he travels Australia sharing his powerful message of preventative health, whether that be mental or physical. But importantly, he shares this message of mateship. He does this all while missing a testicle, part of his reproductive system, all of his abdominal lymph nodes, his large bowel, his rectum, and part of his small bowel.
Yeah, it's quite incredible, Ned. So through his work, Hugo founded 25 Stay Alive, which is a preventative health movement which educates and inspires younger people to be proactive with their health. They urge people to get on top of it because, as they say, 25 is the new 50. These preventative health measures include regular GP checkups, getting onto skin checks and colonoscopies.
That's fantastic. And Hugo is also an ambassador for Gotcha for Life, Movember and the Jodie Lee Foundation. And while I'm sure many of us are aware of Movember and the Jodie Lee Foundation, I will just give a bit of insight into Gotcha for Life. It's a non-profit foundation with a goal of zero suicides, taking action by delivering mental fitness programs that engage, educate and empower local communities. Their programs aim to create meaningful mateship, build emotional muscle and strengthen social connection in local communities.
So Ned, we're incredibly grateful to have Hugo come and work with the club.
Of course.
The interview coming up was actually recorded just after a session that the Kings had with Hugo during the pre-season earlier this year. His story obviously shares a very powerful message and I know the boys deeply appreciated the stories and insights he was able to share with us that night.
Yeah, we did. And we are also very excited that Hugo is back with the Kings on Friday night at Cooper's. A ticket to the function will get you a seat in the warm function room overlooking the A and B grade games, a drinks package and two-course meal. But of course, it'll get you a seat and a chance to hear from Hugo, his story and his message.
Yes, awesome. They're going to be a great night. The club has also partnered with Skin Check Champions, who will provide free skin checks at Haslam during the games on Saturday. So make sure you have your Medicare card with you, whether it be the physical card or on your phone, or even a picture of your Medicare card, which you can take right now while you're listening to me and Ned ramble.
You better. So without further ado, let's hear from the man himself. Welcome, Captain Hugo Tooby.
Hugo. Thanks, Ned. Thanks, Jesse. Thanks for having me, lads.
Thanks very much for being here, mate. It's great to see you.
Excited to chat to you both on the potty.
Yeah, no, looking forward to getting into it. So obviously, an incredible story that you shared with us tonight. We'll be just putting this podcast out a bit down the track. Awesome to hear and awesome to get a lot of insight into men's physical and mental health, and looking forward to delving into it a bit more.
Yes, of course. But before we do that, we always have a bit of an introduction, some easygoing questions. So let's get to know you first. You're an Adelaide boy, is that correct?
That's it, yep.
So is it Saints you went to school
at? Yeah, St. Peter's College. We've got some good mates who are Pembroke lads, so I've always liked Pembroke. So
That's good to hear.
Yeah.
You're in the right room to say that one.
If I said I didn't, I realised I'm on a Pembroke podcast, so that'd be a bit awkward.
No, that's very good. Did you play any footy?
I was in the Mighty Thirds in year 12.
Fantastic.
We won a flag, I reckon. That was good fun. But never, I went straight to the Army. I played a bit of footy for the Army team.
Awesome.
But I didn't get to do the whole like Spockos or what you guys are doing with the Kings and having that sort of environment, which I must admit I'm a bit jealous of. Even tonight, seeing you lads all, that group and the stuff that you were doing before my talk, I miss that part of that old scholars environment.
Yeah.
But no, it's good to see.
I can only imagine the Army is just a bigger version of that, though.
Yeah, for sure. But it's meaning that you're your schoolmates, and I've got my best mates from the Army. But I think, you miss a bit of that, your old schoolmates that you can kind of have that banter with and kick the footy around with. So, it's good to see, and hopefully you guys are in for a decent year.
Hope so. And just to touch on your thirds footy, I think it's pretty unequivocally positive that the best blokes are always in the thirds.
100%. So, yeah, that's a good call. I agree with that.
Special.
Yeah,
I agree with that.
Yeah. All right. So, are you happy to give us a bit of an insight into your experience at the Army and how that all
shaped for sure. Up. Yeah, so I joined the Army straight from school. I was 18, jumped into the deep end, which I really enjoyed. I wanted to kind of move out of home and just and live that life for a while. And it was 4 years of training in Canberra, pretty full on. I must admit, I was never the fittest guy, but I always completed every field X and all the big pack marches and everything because I just had that mindset, right? Mm-hmm. But I really loved it. And some of my best mates today, you know, groomsmen at my wedding and all that sort of stuff, were the guys I met like day one in the Army. So it's kind of goes to show, no different to, you know, your lifelong schoolmates that you met day one at school, you kind of have those relationships for life, which is pretty cool. So yeah, Army, I've been in the Army now for, this is my 14th year. I'm a captain on promotion to Major this year, which is pretty cool. And then at some stage, I'll end up coming back to Adelaide and hopefully settling down and starting a family.
Fantastic. Very exciting, mate.
Just ask, what brought you to decide to join the Army?
Yeah, look, to be honest with you, it was something my old man found, the Australian Defence Force Academy, which is kind of, you got paid to study, you got a uni degree, and I didn't really know what I wanted to do post year 12, so for me it was kind of like, that sounded pretty cool. I always liked the idea of leaving Adelaide and then, yeah, starting something different, which is what it was, and 14 years later, here I am, so... They did something right.
Sensational. So would you be happy to touch on a few of the sort of hardships you went through in your time at the Army, especially in those early days?
Yeah, mate. So, yeah, I often talk about one of the hardest things outside of my own personal physical health journey, which we'll obviously touch on, is when I lost my best mate to suicide. His name was Peter Bark, and he was, you know, 204 centimetres, big larrikin, like life of the party. And he was gay, and I was one of the first people that he opened up to, and he really struggled with being gay, and he couldn't open up to his old man, who was a Vietnam vet, and you know, eventually he opened up to all the other guys and girls in the Army, which is fantastic, but he was struggling a lot. And back then, I didn't know what I know now about mental health and the prevalence of suicide and seeing a psychologist and getting help or being there for your mate. Like, I was there for him in a sense of, hey, mate, how you going, and having a couple of beers, but I was 21 and I didn't really know what I was doing, and I hadn't experienced it before. Mm. And I often say I wish that I could go back in time, knowing what I know now, and just sit down with Pete and have a chat with him, and I've got no doubt I'd be able to save his life. You know, yeah, no doubt.
That must be very tough.
Yeah, it is. It's 100% it's difficult, but it also, it makes you realise that, well, you know, Pete's legacy can live on, and then as a result of Pete, hopefully I can help contribute in saving other lives through these important conversations. So, yeah, that was pretty tough. Second year Army, losing a best mate to suicide. And from that point on, like I said, I've really basically learnt so much more about the prevalence of mental health, seeking help and supporting your mates. So it was a pretty powerful time of my life.
Yeah. It's incredible that you took that approach of not knowing much at the time and then thinking, how can I use this positively and sort of shape it into something where I can learn more and help others learn more. How did you sort of get on that path of trying to make it into a positive out of an incredibly upsetting situation?
Yeah, look, it's a good point. Look, early days, probably not as much because I was still pretty young and immature. That being said, we bonded with each other as far as mates, and you become so much closer. And I always say that when you go through a difficult time, you know who your best mates are and you become so much closer with them. So just out of that alone, I felt like we were there for each other. Mm. We experienced something that other people might not necessarily experience. So we shared that special relationship, which is pretty cool. But then as the years go on and you reflect on moments like that, you realise how significant they are. And then the more you learn about that world, that's what kind of shapes me is, hang on, that's what happened to Pete, and, you know, how can I help make this not happen to other young blokes who are going through a difficult time? And then it's not till many years later when I started going through my real deep bouts of depression and mental health issues that I kind of experienced it myself, rather than being on the other side of supporting someone. I was the one going through it, and it does fucking suck. And I think for people who have never experienced mental illness, depression or even suicide ideations, it's pretty hard to comprehend what it's like. And it is an illness. You know, it's not just I'm having a bad day today. Mm. It's an illness. And people who are suicidal, they are in a very, very bad way. It's an illness. They need help. No different to if you've got cancer or a physical injury or illness, the mental illness side of things, that's, you know, it's a pretty challenging time for not only that person, but for their family and friends and what the hell do we do? Like, how can we support this person? So unless you've experienced it, it's really hard to comprehend what it's actually like.
And so you speak on that you've actually experienced that yourself. Could you take us back to the start of where that began?
Yeah, look, initially it started from post my testicular cancer diagnosis. So 6 months out of graduating from the Army, I got diagnosed with testicular cancer. Unfortunately, the cancer had spread. And then I think I got very good at putting on a brave face, putting on a front. You know, I was early 20s. You know, I was that bloke that it's kind of, you know, how are you so positive and optimistic? But often I'd look at myself in the mirror during chemo and, you know, I'd be really emotional and vulnerable and I'd kind of keep all that to myself. And I never spoke about it, not to my, you know, parents, my brother, no one, no mates or anything. I kept it really close. And unfortunately, the longer that goes, the worse it gets. And it's so important to talk about how you're feeling and what you're going through. I didn't do it back then, but that's when I first started experiencing it. And then, yeah, years later, I continued to go through challenges with my health, ups and downs, and it wasn't until I was in the really, I guess, the darkest days of my life, I like to call it, which is in the midst of my bowel cancer journey, when my GP actually was the one who prompted me to actually get some help for my mental health. And that's when a psychologist literally came into the hospital. And that was years after my first exposure experience with it, with my testicular cancer stuff. It took years before I actually saw a psychologist and my GP prompted me to see that, which I think is crazy, right? Because I was doing everything I could for my physical health, you know, treatments, medications, everything to literally be alive. But then I was doing nothing for my mental health. And that's what I always find so alarming. I look back at that and go, I was doing nothing for my mental health, even though I was struggling. So it's a really good way to put them, to kind of look at the physical health and mental health side by side when you realise that, hang on, why is someone going through cancer treatment, doing everything he can for his cancer and his physical health, but I was doing nothing for my mental health? And that's what I always found alarming, and that's where today I'm obviously very different and I'm open and I see a psychologist and I do lots of stuff for my mental health. But that was kind of the escalation of it from early days to when it got really bad.
Yeah, well, like, it's amazing to have such experience and perspective on both mental and physical health. Can you give us a bit of an insight into some of those physical struggles that you've had?
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, it's a funny one. I often look at my testicular cancer days and having a laugh with my presentation, talking about all things testicles and fake nuts, and like I love all that. Like, to me, it's like a side of men's health that is so easy to talk about because we've all got nuts. It's easy to check your nuts. End of story. Like, if I've had a few too many beers, I'll literally get my nuts out.
That's so funny.
And play real or fake, which I kid you not, I play more often than you think. And then and people build up a little bit of a tally on how many times they've guessed the fake one. But by doing that, you're literally getting blokes to talk about their nuts. Yeah. And I've had times after a big night out where I've had a mate who's, well, not even a close mate, who have reached out to me and they said, mate, great night last night. That was fucking funny shit talking about fake nuts. And just a quick one though, I've got this weird little thing on my testicle. What do you reckon? You know, is it a vein? Is it a lump? Is it a bump? And I go, mate, thanks for sharing that. And yeah, it was a bloody good night. And I said, go see your GP. Go have it looked at. Mm. That's happened multiple times. And so, you know, I have a bit of a laugh with it, which is great. I think the reason why is because that was such an earlier stage of my health. I keep saying journey. I don't like the word journey, but it is kind of a journey. But that was part of my life, which it's almost like the chapter that's finished. You know, I recovered from that and I was completely better and I was 100% normal. post that testicular cancer, if that makes sense. Mm. So like I look back at that and still talk about it because I'm still a testicular cancer survivor and I'm an advocate for it, but I think it's an easy thing to talk about. Whereas years later, when I got diagnosed with bowel cancer, that's a bit more challenging because I'm still going through it. And although I don't necessarily have the bowel cancer itself, as a result of all the surgeries and the treatments, I'm still very much going through challenges and pretty poor quality of life in many respects. And what I face today, tomorrow, like as I currently sit here, what I'm currently going through is very real. And to me, that makes it a lot harder to talk about and to get through. Whereas the testicular cancer side of things, that was like a different life almost. So it's an interesting one. But plus, I think for some reason, it's easy to talk about testicles than it is talking about like your bowels and your poo and stuff like that. Like it's a bit more of that irky thing to talk about. It's like for breast cancer, you know, Pink Ribbon Day, and it's like one of those cancers that's more of the, you know, beautiful type, pink ribbon and ladies and blah blah blah. And whereas for there's no bowel cancer day with brown ribbons, you know. Yeah. There just isn't, right? Like it's not looked upon in that way. And I see it when I talk about, you know, testicular cancer or whatever, you can see that the general banter, as soon as I talk about bowels, bowel cancer, diarrhea and your bowel movements, you can see that general awkwardness in the room.
Yeah.
Because it's more of that blokes don't like talking about it and what are their bowels like, so it makes it more of a challenge. Even though bowel cancer is the biggest cancer killer now for 24 to 35 year olds, recent data has just come out, so it's not just an old person's cancer. It's now the biggest killer.
Before you said that tonight, I had absolutely no idea it was that prevalent.
Well, no, yeah. Exactly, and a lot of people still don't. I didn't do it tonight just because it would have probably been no hands. Who here's had a colonoscopy? And I guarantee it, maybe one or two in the room, based off other circumstances, may have. But if I did that same thing for a room full of blokes over 50, a lot of them would put their hands up. But then I've just said that it's the biggest cancer killer for 24 to 35-year-olds. I've personally lost people close to me through bowel cancer who I've connected with who are young in their 20s. But once again, we still don't talk about it. We still get that irky feeling when we talk about bowel movements and stuff like that. So they're the challenges I face, is that how can we normalise these conversations? How can I talk to a young group of footy blokes, you know, in a way that genuinely makes them, you know, proactive enough to be, you know, mindful of their bowels and their health and going off to a GP? How can we increase these conversations and have those, I guess, you know, outside of the footy banter, how can we have those chats done in the right way?
Yeah.
That statistic is so concerning.
Yeah.
I mean, you say a lot of 50-year-old men would have had a colonoscopy. Is there a reason why 50-year-olds would all have done it? Is there some sort of government
program? Initiative. Yeah, good point. Yeah, so when you turn 50, you currently get a bowel screening kit sent in the mail, so it's free. And essentially it's like a little brush and you brush your poo and you send it off in a paid envelope. And essentially what that's testing for is for blood. So it's not testing for bowel cancer, it's testing for blood. If it comes back positive, it doesn't mean you have bowel cancer, but it might mean that, you know, you've got hemorrhoids, other bits and pieces. But what it will do is trigger a colonoscopy. So if you ever get positive for one of those screening kits, typically your doctor will say, mate, I'm going to send you off for a colonoscopy. And that's when, if they go in and find polyps, which is what happened to me, not all polyps are cancerous, but all colon cancers typically do develop from polyps, if that makes sense. So that's how that kind of works. But they're looking at now lowering that age to 45, which is great. And if it's up to me, I'd love, you know, my initiative with 25 stay alive. Why not when you turn 25, half of 50, why doesn't a 25-year-old get that version of that, whether it's based off your postcode, you've got a list of local GPs and you can pick a few GPs which have partnered with 25 Stay Alive, like you met Lane Hinchcliffe tonight. Someone like Lane who's approachable, you go up to him, he's your GP, government funded initial consultation that's free, you do a checkup, you get everything tested, few bloods, happy days, whatever, we'll see you in 12 months. You know, that's when we should start having these conversations in your 20s as opposed to wait till you're 40 or 50.
What a fantastic initiative.
Yeah. So how long have... you've been doing Survive to 25, and how's it been going?
Yeah, look, I've kind of had, through all my talks and sharing my story, that whole motion of what 25 Stay Alive stands for. Yes, I
said that wrong. Yeah, 25 Stay Alive, my bad.
But no, same concept. Look, at the end of the day, to me, it's all about staying alive. The reason the 25 came up was just that, like I said, for an average age of an AFL Australian rules football is 25. I got diagnosed bowel cancer at 26, testicular cancer at 22. A lot of people I connect with are in those early mid-20 age groups. But then we're just talking about when you turn 50, that's when people almost take their health seriously. That's when you get your screening kits. So for me, that initiative should be happening at 25. And that's through 25 Stay Alive. It's through these initiatives. It's through partnering with Pembroke, you know, going to a melanoma themed footy round in, you know, mid-year and doing a pop-up skin test clinic. And your mate Harry can share his story, and it gets, whether you're a supporter or an opposition player, and you know, you get your skin check. They're all the initiatives that are going to hopefully result in more young men staying alive. Mm.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think, yeah, the club's so keen on doing that, and it's such a good cause. Now, back on sort of the mental health side of things that you talked about earlier, you mentioned the Got You For Life mates and how they're your mates that you can talk to no matter what issue it is, whatever time it is, and you feel very happy to be vulnerable with them. In a footy club setting, what sort of things do you think we could be doing to be a Got You For Life mate? Because I know for me, I'm mates with like every bloke out here, but you know, there's one or two tops that I would probably be able to call a Got You For Life mate.
Yeah, and it's a good point. And you know, I often say that, especially in footy environments, you know, you have plenty of mates, you've got plenty of mates, but you know, how many close friends do you have? And gone those days of being at school and being like a popularity contest of, you know, I've got 20, 30 mates, you know, oh yeah, bloody Robbo, he's a good dude, we'll catch up for a beer or whatever. That's great. That's just that Aussie general sort of environment that we've all grown up with. But how many of those mates are close friends whereby you can be completely open and vulnerable to? And if you are struggling, you can feel like you can pick that phone up and call that close friend or that person in your life when you're going through a difficult time. And when you start to look at it that way, and often we do a bit of a tool with Got You For Life where you write a list of those people, and they call it in your village, you know, that group of people that outside of those mates that you catch up with at the pub, write a list of those people, and it can include family, you know, your brother, sister, you know, for me it would be my groomsman, you know, a couple other really close friends. And then you do a rating system, and it's like, of those little village that you've just talked about, it puts it onto yourself. Out of 10, how do you rank yourself in being a really close friend to those people? And you go through and you go like, well, I know he's one of my closest friends. It's like, I actually haven't reached out to him for a while, so I've probably been a 4 or 5. You know, my twin brother, we speak every day, he's a 9. And you start going through that list of people, and you develop those Got You For Life mates. And you realise the ones that you take for granted, that you kind of go, actually, just because so-and-so has moved into state, I take that mate for granted. I don't know if he's going through a shitty time or if he's struggling or whatever. I'm going to make that effort to actually give him a call once a week, once a fortnight, give him a message, check in on him. And if we all have that mindset and start reaching out to our friends and our mates and actually becoming quite close and not just kind of catching up for a beer on the odd occasion, that's what's going to create those genuine, long-lasting relationships that you can then start relying on each other. Yeah. That's the powerful part.
As someone who has been on the other end of that, so someone who's been going through those struggles, how do you expect someone to reach out? Because we have initiatives or days like Are You Okay Day. You know, Jesse, are you okay? Like, are you doing all right? But I think a lot of people approach that. I mean, it's such a big movement that I feel a lot of people approach that and just go, oh, yeah, I'm all right. Like, I'm doing well. Like, all's well. But how do you expect people to actually
be vulnerable
and open up?
Yeah, it's a really good question. And look, Are You Okay Day, they'll be the first to say that, you know, every day should be Are You Okay Day. But look, at the end of the day, when I was going through difficult times, I knew who those close people in my life were that would reach out to me. That being said, do I hold grudges or whatever for friends who didn't reach out? Well, no, I don't. And one of the most common things I got years later, even now when I'm going through stuff, and when I see someone and they say, sorry, I haven't reached out and stuff over the years, I haven't really known what to say, and I don't know what you're going through, and they kind of don't really know what to say. And I say, look, that's fine. Like, I can see that they're generally, they care. But all I say is, if you're listening to this, if your friend or your mate's going through a difficult time, reaching out to them, checking in on them, and letting them know you are there for them goes a long way. A lot more than if you didn't say anything. Because if you're going through a shit time, would you rather your mate to reach out and say, mate, just letting you know I'm thinking of you, I'm here if you need, you know, let's catch up soon. Sort of just reaching out and connecting with you as opposed to a mate who didn't even reach out, of course. Mm, so often it's not even necessarily knowing what to say, it's letting someone know you're there for them. Yeah. And if we know as humans that people are there for us, it gives us that little warm and fuzzy feeling knowing that, oh, I've got, you know, those group of people who are there for me. So that's what it's about.
Awesome. Well, Hugo, I just want to say, to come out here tonight and share your story, which is obviously incredibly confronting and raw for a lot of people, and I'm sure it's not easy to tell a lot of the time, but to do it as your job almost, and repeat it for the benefit of others, and not only to just have that speech to us in front of 50 blokes and then stay for a podcast after, it's so selfless and so courageous. So thank you very much for your time, mate.
Really appreciate that, lads, and thanks for what you're doing too, because it's these little conversations and chats which, like I say, can create that little ripple effect. So it's post this, you know, tomorrow, the next day, whenever this little episode comes out, it's making sure these conversations, we keep having them. But no, thanks for your time, gents. Love meeting you both.
Awesome. Thanks, mate. You too.
Thanks, you. Wow. He's good.
Oh, wow. He's bloody good, isn't he? What a man. No, it was great. It was awesome.
That was really cool.
Great chat. Yeah, very, very happy with it. Despite the fact, Ned, that that was our first ever recording as hosts, and we were bloody nervous because this is months ago now.
We were shitting ourselves.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely shitting bricks. So he had just come off an episode on Dylan Friends, which literally dropped a couple of days earlier. Yeah. So he flew Sydney, Melbourne, recorded that, and then came in to see us. So we were quite starstruck.
We were very starstruck.
Yeah.
And very nervous. So.
And unexperienced. Yeah. But that's all right.
Yeah, so apologies if it came off that way, but... I think we were pretty happy overall.
Yeah, no, it was good. It was great chat.
No, and very good. So, yeah, definitely get tickets if they're available still to go see Hugo on Friday night.
Yeah.
I think that'll be, this pod will be dropping Friday. So,
yep.
Get your tickets if you can, if you can get out to listen to Hugo, but also you'll get a two-course meal, drinks, everything.
Be good night.
It'll be a good night. So,
watch the boys.
Exactly. So,
In the warm space of the Wolf Blast Centre.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We love the Wolf Blast Centre.
Absolutely, Ned.
So, Kings A's Coopers. And B's out at Coopers.
Yep.
Kings at Coopers. It's massive. Get out there if you can.
6 p.m.
Because
at
it's going to be awesome.
Absolutely.
It's Hope Valley. Let's go.
Bigger news.
Bigger news. What is it?
Charles Canny, 200.
Oh, Chucky. And Chucky. He's in.
He's in.
He's in. That's so massive.
So, what team's he in?
A's.
He's in the A's. That's incredible. That's I thought you were. I didn't want to, you know, be too presumptive in case it wasn't. No. That's sensational.
He's in the A's.
Wow.
Massive.
What an occasion for Charles. Oh. So 8 p.m. Watch Chuck have a run. Absolutely he is. Well, as incredible serviceman to the club, you know, 200 games, a long, long tenure of experience and commitment to the board, and just always around, always helping. So yeah, what a bloke.
Amazing. Awesome. So. And then out at Saturday.
Haslam. Skin checks.
C's and Queens out at Haslam. Obviously, the D's will also be at Park 9. But skin checks, free skin checks. Why wouldn't you go?
Absolutely.
Like, you'd be stupid not to go.
That's very true, Ned. And Whitey, Tom Whiteman, is playing in the D grade. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah.
In the D grade?
Tom Whiteman's playing in the D grade.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's going to make it so hard for me. I don't know where to go now.
Yeah, well, a lot of people, they'll have to get their skin check. And then consider whether
I might be watching at half the D's, half
yeah,
the
C's. Yeah, yeah. That's right.
Oh, that'll be good. Awesome. It'll be good. Whitey.
Yeah, so great weekend ahead. Everyone get out there. Support us. Support the club. It'll be awesome.
It's going to be great.
All right. That's it from us.
I'll see you there, Jess.
Absolutely, mate. See you there. Go Kings. Go Queens. Kings.